This time of year, every year, there are students of all ages and all kinds that are preparing for final exam for the fall semester. And when they do that, they have teachers, instructors, or professors that maybe have been at the institution for a while, and they give the same final exam each time. And so students begin to ask, is this going to be on the test? And they talk to one another and say, this professor, this teacher's been here for a while, and they particularly want to ask this. Don't bother studying everything, but here's what you need to know. Now, good teachers will say, be familiar with everything. But usually what they put on the final exam, the test, is this is most important. This is what you need to do in order to pass this course. You know, Matthew is talking about the same thing again today. Final judgment. We as Christians don't always seem to talk about that, but the truth is that one day, all of us, when we die, we'll see God face to face. And the Gospel of Matthew gives us some indication of what the criteria, what will be on the test. What is God looking for and wanting us to do more than anything else on that final judgment day? And so Matthew then uses the integrity of love. Love is what's going to be on the test. And yes, Jesus said many things that are important and good, and we should be familiar with that. But this is the one where God's going to look at most. How we treated our neighbors and how we responded. The image of the sheep and the goat are familiar with people in that particular area, because the sheep herder would have the sheep and the goats be together all day eating. And then at night they would separate them. The sheep are stronger, can take care of themselves, and to be honest with you, a little bit more valuable. And so they're placed on one side. Goats need extra protection. They're not really able to deal with the cold very well. And they need extra care, and so they separate them. And that would be very familiar with people at that time who are hearing this parable here. And so we do know that in the parable, there's separation between the sheep, the goats. Those who, quite honestly, pass the test, and those who refuse to do what's on the test. Probably one of the ways would be that people familiar with is hospitality. That is very central to the Bible, but also in that Mediterranean world as well, where Jesus is from. Now, hospitality is offered to strangers, to anyone in need. That is the custom. Now, when we show any kindness to relatives, that's called steadfast love. That's not hospitality. That's the love that we should have. But hospitality is offered to strangers always, at all times. And probably when they're hearing this is they see the sheep are the ones who chose to offer hospitality and the goats are the one who refuse. And so what is Matthew really saying about us and the test that's coming up here? One is that not all our practices are going to be what we're judging on. If we got a great prayer life, if we do acts of penance and sacrifices, and we do things every religiously well, those by themselves will not save us. And to be honest with you, that's really not going to be on the test. Those things help us. And we should be familiar with it, as any good teacher would say. But that's not what's going to save us. Those actions that we do should lead us to love neighbor, to do the acts of kindness and compassion and mercy. That's what will be on the test. The second thing is to know that Christ is in everyone. Christ is in everyone. And so whoever we encounter then, Christ is there. Here's what we struggle with sometimes. Not everyone, thank goodness, but I'm always kind of familiar when people come in and they're used to having the tabernacle behind an altar. And some people say, well, we were taught that way. I read the book. I Googled it. My pastor, my teacher said, this is the way it is. And if you don't have it, you're doing it wrong. I've been told we're doing it wrong for years, okay? That's all right, huh? And yet, they're so concerned about where this tabernacle is going to be at. Ours is a central part of the whole parish there. Christ is central to it. But yet, they don't have that same kind of fervor when the tabernacles are hungering. When they live in violent neighborhoods and nothing's done other than turning the page and go, thank God I don't live there. That people are being killed every day in war. Or that there is so much depression and loneliness and drug use only feet from this altar. And yet, we're okay with it. The tabernacles are being destroyed every day by gun violence. But I have very few people that ask for that. They're worried about a mental box. And let me tell you something, people, that's not going to be on the test. How people are treated will be. And so what can we do during this Advent season that's coming up? Let's take a look at what it means to feed the hungry or give to the thirsty. Now, yeah, that might mean a food box. That might bring that, and that's an important thing. But how many times people are hungering for your forgiveness or mine because we've cut them off, because they voted a particular way, or they said something hurtful at the dinner table, or they talked behind your back and you found out, or you felt like you were stabbed in the back by him. And they're hungering either for forgiveness, acceptance, or dignity. And they hunger for that, and we refuse to do that. That's going to be on the test. How about thirsting for your attention or mine? That they're invisible to us, and yet we're always in a hurry, that we don't take the time to give dignity, that could be something that makes a difference in people's life. You all know that. Because you and I can feel invisible at times. People don't notice us at work or at church or in our neighborhood. Even in our own families, we can feel misunderstood, invisible, and people are thirsting for your intention or mine. And that simplicity of giving them words of comfort and dignity, that's going to be on the test. How about clothing the naked? People need to be clothed with respect. Not just our relatives or people who think like us. We've lost that as a world and as a Christian community, that we do not use proper words to clothe your people with dignity. We call them names. We demonize them. We tell people they are really not human beings. That's called propaganda. And many Christians fall into that. And many Christian leaders are calling people to live that way. And yet, how about clothing people with proper wording? Instead of choosing the latest word to describe a group of people, we think we're so smart. That's going to be on the test. Not what fancy words you and I made to make fun of people. That's not on the test. But clothing them that they're human beings, that they're children of God, that they have value, that will be on the test. How about visiting the ill? There's a lot of illness going around. Sometimes the most difficult thing is dealing with people who are ill. That's a hard thing to deal with. I don't know about you, but I've run across a lot of people that feel uncomfortable working with ill people. That's why they don't like going to the hospitals or nursing homes or family members that are ill. They're deathly afraid of it, or they're uncomfortable, or they can't handle someone who has a long-term illness. Maybe right now some of us are struggling. I wish I handled this person's death better because I really yelled at them. I wasn't always there for him. I really never visited because I was busy doing other things, or oh, I hope I'm forgiven. Maybe we can start doing that now and reach out to the ill. Those who just need a visit, a card, a cake, anything that says, I'm aware of your illness, that will be on the test. How about visiting those in prison? How do we speak about prisoners? You know, every state practically, including Arizona, spends so little on prisons, and then we expect them to come out to be good citizens, but we do nothing. We label them, we're glad they're away from us, and we hope they throw away the key or kill some of them. That's how we handle prisoners. Is that on the test? Not that part. Some of us feel shame when our loved ones go to prison. We tell no one because we're afraid to be judged, even by the best Christians. And yet, if you ever find out someone that has a loved one in prison, what are you doing to reach out to them, to comfort them? Because they're loved ones in prison. And not every prison is the model place to live. And families come to Mass with heavy hearts because their loved ones are in danger or live in really bad conditions or don't receive proper dignity and health. That's going to be on the test. Not how many prayers you said in a row, not what you gave up for Lent in 1995, and not all your private prayers alone. That's not on the test. But how you treated one another. And so I invite you during this Advent season starting next week, what's the one thing that you want to do from this reading, Matthew 25, look it up. To feed, to clothe, to give dignity. And as you keep reminding yourself when you do these good things, ask yourself, is this going to be on the test? Yes, it will.